You may have heard people say that you can look, but not touch. This is basically another way of saying that it's fine to gape, that is to look longingly at other women, if you're a man, or other men, if you're a woman, who aren't your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend. The implication, of course, is that looks and the accompanying thoughts have no real moral weight and cannot hurt the other person in the relationship. It is only acting on them that would be supposedly a violation of the relationship. This attitude sometimes gets extended to viewing pornography. Porn is so pervasive in our culture, some statistics show that about 70% of men and 40% of women view online porn each year, and it is seen by so many as not really a problem, whether morally or otherwise, that it isn't considered a breach of fidelity or an offense against one's spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, even though it seems that porn use doubles your likelihood of divorce. Well, what of it? Is it okay to look, but not to touch? I'm Dr. David Heiduck, and here's my take.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you're giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Join tens of thousands of men all around the world who are establishing daily habits of prayer, discipline, and brotherhood as they journey to a greater freedom in Jesus Christ. Click the link above or below in the description to learn more and download the Exodus 90 app today.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast and give us a 5-star rating. So, is it okay to look but not to touch? In other words, do looks and thoughts have a moral value? Or put another way, can only acts be good or evil? Or can looks and thoughts be as well? Well, the first problem here pertains to what does and does not constitute an act. Isn't looking an act? Doesn't someone decide to look? Couldn't they just as well choose to look away? And while it is obvious that some thoughts we have, we do not choose, they just pop into our minds, we are clearly capable of choosing to put something out of our minds once we recognize it, or of choosing to think about something else. Would not the choice not to put something out of our minds itself be a choice? There are, it seems, such things as mental acts. Secondly, a moral act involves not merely the physical act itself, but also the intention of the action. A morally good act done for a bad intention, like a person giving a donation to charity in order to brag about it or to be recognized, is actually a morally bad act due to its intention. In the case of gaping at someone, even if the look or the thought do not have moral value, and as I've just shown, I think they do, the intention is to look lustfully or longingly at the person, which is an evil intention. Simply put, it is not how a person ought to be looked at, and it's not how we are supposed to be looking. To understand this, we need to remind ourselves yet again about the meaning of the human body and how we should regard it, or rather, how we ought to regard the person. Human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. We are persons made for love and for a communion of persons. We are made to give the sincere gift of ourselves to another for that person's own sake. When God created us as persons, made in His image and likeness, He created us both body and soul. We are body-soul composites, not more one than the other. As a result, our bodies are us. Our bodies are, in a certain sense, sacramental. The body makes visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine. The human body shares in the image of God and reveals a person made in that image. What we do to someone's body, we do to them. What we do with our body, we do. When we give our bodies, we give ourselves. And how we look at another's body is how we look at them. In the beginning, when God created the first man and woman, the biblical narrative states that the man and his wife were naked, but felt no shame. But after sin, their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and they covered themselves. What changed? Did the human body change? No. The way we looked changed. Prior, it did not seem as if nakedness was even noticed, because it is after sin they realized they were naked. The Bible indicates their eyes were opened, but this is actually meant ironically, because they had actually become blind to the person. Let me explain what I mean. Because when God created human beings, he created them as body persons, before original sin, when the first man and woman looked at each other, they saw each other with a sort of divine vision. They saw the person revealed in his or her body. They saw the other as a unique and unrepeatable image of God, as someone created for his or her own sake, and towards whom the only adequate response is love, that is, to will their good. Lust had not, as of yet, crept into the human heart. This happened after the first sin. And so, with this change of heart, there was a change in the way the first human beings saw each other. They did not see each other as persons to be loved, but as objects to be used. The person wasn't revealed in their body, but reduced to their body. Their look of love had turned into a lustful look, born from the lust that had entered into their hearts. And so, lust is a reduction, an objectification, a failure to see the person made in God's image and likeness. It is a failure to love. Thus, it is an attack on the dignity of the person. This background will help us to understand Jesus' words in the Gospels. But before we go there, let's hear more about our sponsor for this episode.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you're giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. We all have pharaohs and idols in our lives, things that keep us from being who we were created to be and keep us from love. It's time to leave those pharaohs and idols behind and journey to an uncommon freedom in Jesus Christ. Join the men of Exodus 90 and Father Boniface Hicks, Benedictine monk, and renowned spiritual director, our spiritual guide for Exodus 90 this year. We will establish daily habits of prayer, discipline, and brotherhood as we journey to a greater freedom in Jesus Christ. Click the link above or below in the description to download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men all around the world for a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ. Once again, thanks for joining us for this episode of A Reason for Hope podcast. Your support helps us carry on the mission of evangelizing to the culture through high-quality media and events. If you've been enjoying our content, we ask you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us in this mission. You can do that by clicking the link above or below in the description, which will take you right to our donation page. There, you can choose to make a one-time or a monthly donation. By selecting podcasts in your Apply Your Donation Towards drop-down menu, you can be assured that this gift will go directly to the production of this podcast. We thank you in advance for your generosity. Now back to our episode.
In the Gospels, Jesus is commenting on the law of Moses, perfecting it, fulfilling it. He is moving his disciples from the simple keeping of the externals of the law to the interior of the person. Jesus wants us not only to perform the right actions, he does want us to do this, of course, but he is really after interior conversion and transformation. He wants our hearts to change. He wants to make us new and whole and holy. So Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." He goes on to say some pretty hard things about the seriousness of such looks. He talks about plucking out eyes and cutting off hands if they cause you to sin, rather than your whole body being thrown into hell. Now, Jesus is not simply speaking here about avoiding an occasion of sin, though that is important. Clearly, sexual sin begins in lustful looking. But Jesus is focused on something more. He is focused on the nature of the look and of the one being looked at. He specifies a woman as if to connect his words to the biblical beginning when Adam called Eve woman, to show how far such a look falls from the original way a man was supposed to look at a woman. The woman is not being looked at as a person, but as an object of pleasure. Her body is not considered as the revelation of her interior personhood, but as something to be used and appropriated. In other words, she is being depersonalized. A quick aside, Jesus is not saying that only men can lust, or that it is okay for women to do so. This obviously speaks to lust generally. But the problem here is really a heart problem. The adultery is committed in the heart. A man looks as he is. The look is born from the heart. As Jesus said, "From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The human heart is the battlefield between love and lust. Clearly, Jesus did not think it was okay to look, but not to touch. There is a moral value to the way we look and to the thoughts that are connected to such looks. This is because it is a person who is the object of such looks and thoughts. And such looks and thoughts depersonalize them and treat them in a way that contradicts their dignity as a person and contradicts the love which we should bear them. As I said, the way you look at a person's body is the way you look at them. We were created to be looked at and to look a certain way, as creatures made in God's image and likeness. It seems to me that it's not a big intellectual step to see why pornography is so degrading to persons, both to those who are in such photos and videos, and to those that view them. It not only contradicts the dignity of the person made in God's image, but it is a sacrilege, a desecration of the human body and of God's gift of sex, as well as feeds human trafficking and sex slavery globally, which would be the depersonalization, appropriation, and objectification of the human person brought to its extreme conclusion. But I will have to leave specific treatment of this topic for another episode. Well, that's my take. If you have a topic you'd like my take on, comment below or send an email to r4hpodcast@gmail.com. Come back next time when we will tackle a new issue. Until then, run the race, fight the good fight, and keep the faith.